Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Gogs Mackay, our guest co-host this week, we are welcoming Nick Pope and John Burroughs, talking, of course, about the Rendlesham case. And now we've kind of segued to Project Condyne, which, as Nick mentioned in our previous segment, he was able to discuss in more detail an encounter in Rendlesham Forest. Nick?
So just to wrap it up, yes, absolutely. I not only have read, but was involved in some research capacity in view of my friendship with Georgina in the writing of You Can't Tell the People. It's a great book, and I thoroughly recommend it.
Nick, can you quickly just confirm the quote, "You can't tell the people"? Was I right in attributing that to Margaret Thatcher?
You were spot on.
And was she a friend?
They shared politics, and they were involved in some of the same charities and social functions. And certainly Georgina had met Margaret Thatcher on several occasions, and on this one occasion got to discuss with her not just the UFO phenomenon, but specifically the Rendlesham Forest incident. And Margaret Thatcher's quote, you can't tell the people. And, you know, what exactly that meant, perhaps we'll never know. But yes, that remark was made to Georgina at a charity function back in, I think, about 1999.
Okay, and then so going back, John, maybe you can start with this. The second part of the question was talking about claims of actual alien entities being seen in the vicinity of the craft, and a part I haven't heard of communicating with a General Gordon Williams. I'm not even familiar with that name, but John, maybe you could speak about this.
Sure. The interesting thing Nick read earlier about that statement about the radiation, it also goes a little further and says people aren't even aware how it's affecting them. There was a lot of different people that saw different things, and each one of them saw it a little bit differently. The actual point you're pointing at is, and I'm going to kind of, how do I want to word this? The person that has been accused of saying that, Larry Warren, says he didn't say it like that. What he claims he said was, the only way he could describe it was possibly beans, and that was put out on the CNN piece. Within that CNN piece, there's another individual. He always gets misidentified as Sergeant Gullius, but it was actually Sergeant Ball, said within the blue lights, you could have seen some kind of life form. So to say that what was out there couldn't have been intelligence, no, you can't say it didn't. As a matter of fact, Colonel Hall has gone on the record saying it's from somewhere else. It's ET, showed intelligence, the ability to move and intelligence. In Condyne, it says it shows the ability to do things and shows intelligence. So the big question is what exactly, which is still being worked on, exactly what is, what it really is? Where can we trace it back to? And that really isn't in Condyne, and that is still hasn't been totally disclosed yet. But I will say one more thing. Edgar Mitchell did an interview with an English guy a few years ago on English radio, and he kind of gave away some of the goods in a 10-minute clip where he talked about that he knows we've been visited by the phenomena, he knows it's real, and he did say they haven't identified outside of Earth where it's coming from, but there's no doubt there's a phenomena. And not only that, in Condyne it goes into about how they use astronauts and other people to study this and be involved in the study, and I believe Mr. Mitchell was one of those people that was involved in it.
Okay, I'm going to go to a question from Burnt State, a.k.a. Robert, who has been on the show and is one of our frequent posters. I'm going to go to his second question, actually, and it is as follows. We know that memory is a very tricky thing, and that we really just remember the details of the last time we remember something. So this would be for John. How have you come to terms with the many complex memories that have unfolded for you? And do you ever feel sometimes that the events that took place have been altered or shifted in any way by the very act of remembering, just like an iterative process of like all the times you've thought about it, maybe things are being subtracted and added? Do you ever doubt what happened to you or feel that your own mind has altered or imbued the experience with elements and feelings that were not actually present originally? A bit of a mouthful, that question, but I think you can see where it was going.
I can sum it up pretty quickly. What he's basically implying was, as the years have gone on, it seems like different people have added more to the story. And does my interviews and stuff, you know, as far as has what I've said changed? No. I've stuck to the same story from day one. Matter of fact, I was the one who got the dates right when they were wrong in the memo, and a lot of people were reporting the dates wrong. I was the one that got the time right. I was the one that stood by the fact that I never did see Jim walk around it. Never have said I did, never will. Okay. So my story stayed the same. Now, I've been under hypnosis. There's some things that come out of hypnosis that actually can fill in some of the missing blanks. But I've been very careful to say the difference between what I remember and what I don't. Okay. And I've never changed my story. I've never felt that it's made my story, made me feel any different about what happened to me, other than the actual evidence that has been uncovered now fills in a lot of the missing pieces to what I feel happened to us.
Now, one of the concerns I've had, and I don't know about Goggs and his opinion, but Chris O'Brien also shares this with me, when you have some episodes of hypnotic treatment like regression, there's a danger of contaminating one's memories of an event. It's so easy to do that. Were you ever worried about this before you underwent hypnosis to recover some details?
Not totally. I was more worried about what might come out, because I felt that there was clearly I couldn't remember a lot of this stuff. So I was concerned what might come out. Now, that was a valid concern, because a bunch of stuff came out. Now, the one thing I will say is what came out in hypnosis is kind of earth-shattering, and it shakes you up. Matter of fact, some of the skeptics have even said, they try to point out, well, he never says that, you know, he saw a craft. I never have ever said I saw a craft. It gets labeled into it. What I saw was lights, and I've given a description of the lights, okay? And even in hypnosis, I don't have memories. In other words, I know what I said in hypnosis, but that doesn't mean me back, oh, yeah, now I remember that. Now I remember this. No. And I made me very sure what little has been put out on my hypnosis, that I make clear that this is what came out under hypnosis. And yes, it does seem to fill in some of the pieces, but it doesn't jar my memory of what I actually remember. Never has, never will. It did help me look at some things for evidence, which, believe it or not, that's what's led to a lot of what I've uncovered. And it's verifiable evidence. It's not evidence like even MJ-12 where they can discredit it. Like Nick said, these documents, Condyne, are on the MOD webpage. They're real. And it's actual. And one other thing it helped me get some FOIA stuff answered where I caught the British government in a lie.
Who administered this hypnosis?
I'm not going to divulge his name because he's never given me permission to do that. But it was done back in the 80s. One of the cases was done back in the 80s early on, and it was done by some interesting people that go back to actually the intelligence world that we found out later on.
Did the person who had did this hypnosis, did that person have a background in doing UFO research, specifically abduction research, or not?
No, he was actually a person that was involved in police work.
Okay.
May I interject? On that very important point, yes, it's important to stress that there are problems that can result from regression hypnosis, and it's an extremely controversial subject. Let's not forget, though, that Project Condyne states that memories are being scrambled not by regression hypnosis, but by exposure to the phenomenon itself. This is both in the executive summary, and for anyone who wants to drill down into it, Volume 2, Annex F, Working Paper 1, and it talks about its underheadings like non-ionizing electromagnetic effects on humans and electromagnetic field from a plasma. And it actually talks about memory and perception being modified by the phenomenon. So you know, again, there's a tangible kind of factor here way before you get into the question of someone going and getting hypnotized.
We've got Nick Pope, John Burroughs. Remember to go to plusstoptheparacast.com, plusstoptheparacast.com. And by the way, if you sign up for a limited time only, we'll get you the ebook version of Stalking the Tricksters, that famous book from Chris O'Brien. That's for either 1 year or 5 year subscriptions. plus.theparacast.com. With Gene and Goggs, you're in
The Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Gene and Goggs here. We're talking with John Burroughs and Nick Pope. Very quickly, to go to plus.theparacast.com, sign up for a year or more of the Paracast Plus. We get you a copy of Stalking the Tricksters by Chris O'Brien. He also has another book to give away, Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. You get that by signing up for our free newsletter at theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Gogs, you got more questions from our listeners?
Yes, Gene. I'm going to go to a question from Blowfish, also known as Kev, who's been posting since 2010. I'm going to amalgamate part of his questions 2 and 3, and this is directed for Nick. And it's basically, Mr. Nick Pope, during your service in the British Forces, I think the MOD is more accurate, did you ever feel your investigations were stonewalled? And did you have access to radar data from NATO bases or question individual servicemen and women, servicewomen, NATO, there would be NATO personnel, sorry, it's just the way it's worded, regarding UFO cases on operational matters? So I think he's asking basically, were you ever stonewalled? Did you have access to radar data from multiple NATO bases? And did you ever meet any other nation's officers outside NATO, your counterparts, if you like, who investigated UFOs?
Well, radar was an integral part of the UFO project. All the UFO sightings that we investigated were sent in parallel to the Ministry of Defense's radar experts, and tapes would be checked to see whether visual sightings could be correlated by radar. So that was primarily Royal Air Force, but yes, certainly on occasion. I mean, the whole point about radar is that it's an integrated chain. So yeah, we would absolutely have access to NATO radar bases too, if we needed them. And indeed, on some occasions, we even went outside the UK and inquired about other nations where friendly nations, allies, had interesting cases that would have a bearing on our own. I mean, for example, we, on the wave of sightings in Belgium in 1989-1990, in 1993, because we had some very similar sightings in the UK, I actually went through our military attaché in the British Embassy in Brussels to speak to the Belgian Air Force about this, and we interviewed the Chief of Staff of the Belgian Air Force, General Wilfred de Brouwer, and the two F-16 pilots who were scrambled to intercept a UFO on the night of March 30th and 31st, 1990. So, yeah, we absolutely could get access to that data and reach out to people. Was I stonewalled? I don't think so. I mean, on occasion I came up against people in the chain of command who were skeptical about this, or who were perhaps overly defensive, that if we were kind of caught, if I can use that phrase, if we were caught doing too much of this, it would make our public position, you know, that we're not really interested in this, we don't really investigate much, it's all of no defense significance, it would make all that, it would be rather difficult to explain. So I came up against kind of defensiveness of getting too involved, or rather getting caught being too involved, but not stonewalling, I don't think so.
Okay, Nick, I've got a personal addition to Kev's question there. You'll know, of course, the Pitlochry diamond-shaped UFO case that I believe you used to have a picture of taken by a couple of hill walkers. I believe in this picture there was presumably an RAF jet, possibly a Harrier or something. Did you ever get to interview the pilot of that aircraft, if I'm remembering the case correctly?
No, I didn't. This case was the case had actually occurred in August of 1990 when the photos were sent in to us. So it was my predecessor on the UFO project who investigated this. I don't know whether he interviewed the pilot or not. In fact, from memory, I believe there was even a problem tracing the aircraft, though you're quite correct. It was thought to be a Harrier from the photographic analysis we did. This photo was on our office wall for many years, and then it was removed because my head of division had convinced himself, rightly or wrongly, that it showed some secret prototype spy plane or drone that we shouldn't have seen. But I mean, you know, I discussed this with my opposite number in the defense intelligence staff, and we were clear this was no spy plane or drone. I mean, this was like nothing any of us had seen before. And I mean, when an intelligence expert with specialism in that area says, no, it's not an aircraft or drone, you haven't got many places left to go.
I could just picture you feet in your desk looking up at this picture in a kind of Fox Mulder pose thinking, you know, I want to believe.
It was very funny because we had it on the wall, and on occasion people would come in to our office and they'd start discussing something, and then you'd see their eyes beginning to wander. And then after a while they would just say, I'm sorry, I have to ask, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it's a case that doesn't really seem to get much publicity, even here in the UK. I think maybe there aren't that too many details available, but it's by what you're just telling us just now, sounds like a fascinating case.
Yes, there is an article on my website called The Calveen Incident, which goes into some of the details. And ironically, actually, though I can't talk about this because it's all commercially confidential until it's out there, I'm actually filming a TV interview about this case probably in about 3 weeks' time. So fortunately, there is maybe some media interest in this building.
Now, I suppose going back to the stonewalling, I find it very difficult to believe that your predecessor would be unable to locate a pilot of a Harrier, considering how big the UK is, how many RAF bases would have squadrons of Harriers or even Royal Navy, because I know I served myself. That's, you know, it shouldn't be hard. If you have a date for something, it shouldn't be hard to find a pilot who would have been scrambled or maybe currently on an exercise at the time. I find that hard to believe. But your predecessor.
I share your view.
Yeah, the implication is then, you know, that there was a bit of a no, don't go there, maybe.
I think that is a reasonable inference to draw, yes.
Yeah. All right, Gene, are we continuing with questions?
Let's do our break first before we do that. All right, we're going to break in a moment and give everybody a chance to take a deep breath. Our guests this week include John Burroughs, who, of course, was one of the witnesses in the Rendlesham Forest UFO case back in 1980. We have Nick Pope, who, of course, headed the UFO desk at the UK Ministry of Defense and now has gone on to civilian life and been quite successful. We have Gogs Mackay, our guest co-host, who is standing in or sitting in for Chris O'Brien, who's off this week, but we'll be back next week. And we're going to have Gogs, by the way, do the After the Paracast podcast with me, which he's heard before, but now it's cemented that thing. With Gene and with Gogs, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now.
Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
Do good people ever want to call an attorney just to find out if they're right or wrong? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what are you forced to think about first? Money. If you could call as often as you wanted and talk as long as you need without a bill, would you call? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case. What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens and dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Gogs McKay is my co-host this week. Chris O'Brien took a week off. We have John Burroughs, Nick Pope. Earlier on, we had Patrick Fresconia, the attorney who defended John to get him his benefits from the VA. And anytime you have to cope with government bureaucracy, especially the besieged U.S. agency, the Veterans Administration, you know, more power to him. He didn't ask for a ton of money. He just did it because it was the right thing to do. Gogs, you have some more questions from listeners?
Yeah, I'll quickly just give a little announcement to possibly new listeners that if you want to be giving questions for Gene and Chris, which will be at forum.theparacast.com. If you kind of check in with the forum early in the week, sometimes there's only a little bit of notice, a day or two, about an upcoming guest, and that's the time to get your questions in. So if you want to get a question, just keep checking the forum at the start of the week, and you should be able to catch it. So I'm going to go to a question from a very new signee called Open Minded Earthling, who apparently joined on Friday. And this question is going to be for John. And the question is, do you agree with Jacques Vallée that what happened was some kind of human probe security threat assessment test or other human war games or hoax and not from ET or off planet? So I think he's basically kind of trying to say, was this some kind of psyop? Is there any possibility in your mind that this could have been a staged incident?
I can cover that in two segments. Number one, Jacques did say that at one point on Coast to Coast. And then after he talked to Colonel Hall, he redacted that. He reversed it and said, no, he didn't believe that was the case after all. So I have no idea what Colonel Hall told him to change his mind. I have tried to figure or get in touch with Jacques on that. I haven't gotten to that point yet because I've been busy with a lot of other stuff. What I will say is this. If you know the area that we were at, there was all kinds of classified SAP special access programs going on during that time frame. You had Marlsham Heath there, you had RF Bowsey, Wooten, and a couple other things that were out in that area. That area is well known for its development of new technology, cutting edge technology through the years. So could it actually there have been something we were doing or involved with to be involved with it? It's very possible. I mean, but what's clear when you go back to Condyne again, that they're aware of a phenomenon that exists. Not only that, there was some work being done on the phenomenon during the time frame our incident took place by some scientists anyway. So they're well aware that there's a phenomenon in that area and that we were exposed to it. But can you rule out the fact that we were involved in it and doing something too, either prior, you know, during or after? No, you can't right now.
May I chip in on that?
Chip away.
Yeah. The PSYOP theory was kind of effectively put to bed, I think, by when it came out. One of the documents that we got hold of in researching and writing the book was a document entitled The Role of Behavioral Science in Physical Security. It basically went on to say that, yes, of course, you know, sometimes you will initiate various active procedures, initiating events to see how the, you know, security personnel respond. But it went on to say, you know, it talked about black hat assaults as a result of the system, as a tested system, et cetera, et cetera. It went on to say everybody early in the game knows it's an exercise. What you cannot do, so far as I can see at the present time, is to actually initiate an event which will result in the call out of a fire team, for example, without the whole system knowing it's an exercise. That is simply beyond the scope of what we might be able to do. So, yeah, we considered, of course, as part of writing Encounter in Rendlesham Forest, it would have been dishonest of us not to consider all these theories. But when we consider these theories, we always try to chase down paperwork like this document. And again, we cite that. It's on page 104. So we kind of dismissed that theory.
I'd still like to add one thing to it, though. Now, the reason why I say there's still a possibility, okay, even though Nick brings up valid points, is sometimes things are going on. This may not have even been meant for us to get involved with. You know what I mean? Because it was actually the areas where this would have been going on and they've been working on this was far enough away from the base that our base and our personnel may have never even known about it, number one. And number two, it is kind of convenient this all took place over one of the most quiet periods in the UK, which is over the Christmas holidays. So all I'm saying is Nick brings up valid points for the other point, but you can't totally rule out that something we were doing has something to do with what happened either. I don't feel that way at all.
All right, I've got a question myself. I seem to remember vaguely reading or seeing that possibly some of the airmen, security personnel involved, may have been quite harshly interrogated, possibly even using kind of truth drugs type of thing. Was there any truth to that kind of thing?
There's been several people said different things have happened to them. Jim Penniston has talked about it. He talked a little bit about being brought in several times. Obviously, he would have. He was in charge that night as far as when we went out there. But then when he goes under hypnosis, it does come out that he was, you know, had, I believe, the sodium pentothal used on him. Other people have vivid memories of it happening. But the actual drug of choice probably wouldn't have been pentothal if it was used. And I say if, because I don't have memory of having it done to me, would have been amethyl, not pentothal.
And I presume it would be AFOSI that would have been administering this test?
Not necessarily. If what people have claimed they say saw and remember happened, it probably would have been much higher above OSI. There would have been actually people from the British government up in their agencies and probably CIA, DIA, you know, NSA could have been involved. But again, I'm just telling you this. You asked the question. I don't have any proof of that, or do I have any memory of that, but other people have brought this up. So,
just to clarify, John, since you achieved this victory against the VA, you haven't been contacted by anybody in the government about Rendlesham or anything, right?
No, other than I'll tell you the thing that stands out. They still won't answer the question on the records. They still won't give the final case file review. And what happened was after I got this, it was funny. Senator McCain's office was never directly involved. As far as what I mean is getting the initials and stuff, it always come to me. But right at the end, they finally did what Senator McCain's office had been asked for in the first place, sent it to them. But they did now try to get out of the final thing, which was the FOIA, which is a big deal, and where my records are and, you know, what classification they are. So indirectly, yes. Directly, no. No one's picked up the phone and talked to me about why they gave it to me.
Just let it happen and don't draw attention to it.
That's kind of what we're thinking is going on. I think, and I can only, you know, just give you our guess on why this happened. I think there was a threat. There was a threat that we would go to court, which they knew it was viable, that what we were going to go, and I want to clarify where we were going to go with this. We were going to go in because what was being suggested was, well, they can't confirm. First of all, I wasn't in the military, but once we got it straightened out, they can't see my records. So they can't confirm that I was injured, you know, during the time frame I say I was. So if in fact they were going to continue to deny me on that fact, we were prepared to go to federal court and ask for, because we could not get an answer, and we still can't get an answer to this day, where my medical records are and why they're classified and why they're being held up, to even the extent of what they admitted in this thing, which is very interesting to us, and we want an answer on this, but we haven't got one yet. We're still trying. Is it pops up in the what they reviewed was my records, my medical records. Now, the case file that we have gotten our hands on, they even discussed the fact that I had no medical records. Now, where did these medical records all of a sudden come from? Because they've denied all along that they've ever had records from 7982. So these are a lot of unanswered questions yet that need to be answered. To include the fact that it was brought up in Phoenix, it was interesting when we made the announcement. A couple of attorneys stood up and said, you know, you have a right to your records, which is the law, and you should get them because you never know what could happen in the future. And yet they continue not to want to let me look at my past records or have any involvement in my current records.
Well, that might require filing a lawsuit, too, in federal court. But
well, that's what they suggested, and they said they were willing to support us in doing it and volunteer their time.
All right. One more segment with John Burroughs, Nick Pope, Gene, and Gogs Mackay. You're in
the podcast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up.
Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dory, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsideben.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Ben team. Go to brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have John Burroughs and Nick Pope. Of course, John is celebrating the victory, getting his health benefits finally after a huge fight from the Veterans Administration. Now, in ongoing treatment here, have you actually gone to the VA or private physicians to get ongoing treatment?
Actually, to make a long story short, when Senator McCain's office really started pushing, all of a sudden things expedited, and it expedited for two reasons. His involvement and a letter we received from, I cannot name the doctor, but he's a forensic doctor that understood radiation and what it probably was, wrote up a letter, sent it to Pat. It's basically attorney-patient doctor privilege that I can't release the name or everything that was in it. But once that letter was presented to the VA, all of a sudden things started to change. My surgery was done by the VA and the Heart Institute down there, the Arizona, University of Tucson and the VA as a major medical heart institute down there. The surgery was done there.
Phoenix or Tucson?
Tucson. Their office is down there as far as where they take care of heart patients. So that was all done. But like I've said, and I want to keep reiterating to people, even my current records are classified. In other words, everything having to do with my heart and all the stuff that went on are locked up and I can't get access to them. I was able to get copies of some of the stuff, but not all of the stuff, which is against federal law.
John, I'm just imagining a situation where you could be down at your local VA branch or one of their medical facilities, and maybe you're sitting in a waiting room and there are some other veterans, maybe of, a recent war, somebody with a limb missing, somebody with PTSD, and maybe you start up a conversation and, one soldier says to an airman, "So what are you here for?" And the other one says, "What am I here for?" Has anyone ever asked you, said, "Oh, what are you here for?" And you're like, "Well, I got zapped by a UFO."
Interestingly enough, I haven't come across that yet. Now, what is interesting, since you've asked the question, is a lot of the doctors are very interested in this, and they start asking questions, including the doctor I had up in Cottonwood. When he wanted to look at some stuff and he came back and told me he was denied access to it, only certain people could look at it. So the doctors have had shown more interest in this because of what they can and can't look at within my files, and only certain people can look at me. So far, it hasn't come up. Otherwise, I'd be there probably all day. I more than likely would just tell them, I'm in here for heart problems. Which, by the way, let me clarify that. The latest doctor I just seen said she's never in the history of her being in the VA has ever seen anybody get what I got. She didn't understand it herself and was trying to look into it and was denied access.
Well, that sure makes it easy to treat you. But none of these doctors asks at all how you got this injury, or did they?
No, they try to ask. They do. They start asking questions. They want to know. I mean, it was interesting when I was having the heart procedures. There were some doctors that came in there. It was very interesting. I was going in for one procedure, and I was going with this one doctor that was working for my surgeon because they wanted to look at the valve of putting the camera down my throat. The gag factor for me was so bad that she right away realized that they couldn't do it and there had to have been extensive damage. And her comment was, as these doctors were coming in, we're not going to do the tests. They already tried to put me down the way they would and stuff. She says, we're just not going to do the tests this day. There's clearly enough damage that we don't need to. When we put him under prior to doing the surgery, we'll take a look then. These two doctors stepped up and one of them took her aside and I could hear the conversation as it started, said, I don't really care what you say. I'm telling you this test needs to be done today. And if you need to knock him out, knock him out. And she says, I'm not going to do it. So if you want to go above my head to have it done, go ahead. And then they took it out in the hallway and they came back in. And she says, well, and they left. She says, well, you're going to go home. We're not going to do the test. We'll do it prior to the surgery.
And when they did the surgery, they find anything interesting as a result? Things that they might have discovered in those tests?
Well, there was two things that went on that were interesting after the surgery. What Pat said earlier, that the doctor said he could not see what was wrong with me. He didn't understand how it happened or what was wrong with me, what caused the damage. And the second thing was they did some tests that were done. I was drugged. A couple of doctors came in and asked to draw some blood and do certain tests. And they told me that it was to look at my immune system. I went ahead and said they could do it. It was done off-site, and I never got any answers other than I was able to, and I did this purposely. I went downstairs a couple days after. I went downstairs and started trying to get some of my files because I already knew some of this stuff was already locked up. I already tried to get it some stuff prior. I did get a couple little things from them, but the majority of this stuff, everything that went on, to including the echo done afterwards and everything, is all locked up. They call it the VISTA system. And the VISTA system is a direct link between the VA and DOD. It also has to do with paperless, but it is a direct link between the DOD and the VA so they can go back and forth on military injuries. But the interesting thing was I've asked over and over repeatedly to get that portion that's locked up where you can't read what they're saying and who the doctors are, and they will not give me that.
Oh, that hurts.
So there's still more to this, and there's still more to be done, which is a valid point of what Nick said. There's only so much we're going to say right now because there's still stuff going on within this. So we can't go into too much detail other than talk a little bit about what happened and stuff, you know, what went on. Because they're still denying me access to my records, and they're still denying me. And, you know, and in fairness, some of it is, well, okay, yeah, my VA doctors have access to it, or some of them do. But, you know, by law, I'm supposed to be able to have all this, and they just will not take care of that part.
But something like that can last for years. If they want to stonewall you, they could do it, unless you got publicity. And that's a good question, too. This press release came out on the 22nd, and that, of course, was the final day of the International UFO Congress. What kind of response have you gotten to it?
Most of it's been very positive. I think most of the people that have followed it understand exactly what happened. They saw the beginning through the middle and now towards the end of it. And they saw that there's been proof provided all along that I've been denied I was in da-da-da-da. And at the end of the day, the announcement was made because I personally considered what to do with it when I got it. Because one of the things that concerned me was, well, if I don't announce it, I'm not being fair because I took it public, so I need to say something. But if I don't say certain things, then there's going to be people saying that I've now been bought out by the government, da-da-da-da, and all this other stuff. But what's interesting is the few things that have been negative haven't been total negative, but they're pushing to see some evidence of what I said. That's going to be taken care of shortly. I'm not going to go into the way it's going to be put out, but it's going to be done out. And what I mean by credible, it's going to be verified and put out by in a way that's going to draw attention, hopefully, to this whole thing even further. That's the best I can say right now.
Nick, since we're just about ready to wrap things up, where do you intend to go from here in terms of studying UFOs, in addition to this case? Anything else that you are trying to consider and pursue?
Well, I think it actually ties back with what John has been involved with. Some of the supporting papers and documents that went into Project Condyne have yet to be released. John has made multiple Freedom of Information Act requests on that. As a result of that, as a direct result, transpired that 18 more Ministry of Defense UFO files will be coming out this year. And remember, of course, a year or so ago, the Ministry of Defense said, we've released absolutely everything. So there is certainly more to come on this, and I will be involved, and as John was responsible for getting them out, John, I'm sure, will be involved too in some media work to promote those files when they are released. So, you know, watch this space. There are definitely things that, you know, we hope to get out there.
Nick Pope, where can our listeners get more information on the things you do?
My website, which is nickpope.net.
Okay. John, do you have a website yet?
No, I don't. Again, I've been focusing on the research end of it and trying, you know, as far as for my medical issues and stuff. There might be something down the road, but can I read a quote here that I think is very important? Okay. It was done by Nick a few years ago before all this started to break, and he did this quote. And he did it on a particular documentary he's doing. He says, I've gone on record saying Rendlesham might be the turning point in history that leads to the explanation of UFO phenomena. And I'm not sure what he knew when he made that quote, but I think that's where this is going to end up. At the end of the day, this is going to be something that leads to confirmation of what we're dealing with.
Okay, you can find us on Twitter. We're known as The Paracast. Look for The Paracast on Twitter. Also on Facebook, there are two Paracast fan clubs. Use either one. If we get rid of one, we lose the other. You know, we lose that. It disappears. You can combine your memberships, but all the content disappears. We don't want that. Shame on you, Facebook. You could also check out our forums at forum.theparacast.com. And if you want to get the high-quality audio ad-free version of the show, plus after the Paracast podcast, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. You subscribe for 1 year or more, get a copy of the ebook version of Stalking the Tricksters from Chris O'Brien for a subscription of 1 year or more at plus.theparacast.com. John Burroughs, Nick Pope, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferrule rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at freewaterproofmatch.com. Again, that's freewaterproofmatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit freewaterproofmatch.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.